May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The sermon chosen for today comes from the archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., who gave this sermon 23 years ago, and it was November 26th, then as it is today. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year. We have one more highlight coming with St. Andrew's Day on Thursday, and then we start a new church year next week with the first Sunday in Advent. The season of Advent is all about the coming of the Messiah of Israel, and today's lessons give us some idea of what the Messiah is going to do when he finally comes. The prophet Jeremiah preached mostly during the 7th century before Christ, the 600s BC. Israel split in two after the death of King Solomon about 350 years before Jeremiah. The northern kingdom, called Israel, was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Jeremiah lived in the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Judah was more or less under the control of the Babylonians, the empire which succeeded the Assyrians as the major power in the Middle East. Jeremiah said that Judah was doomed to destruction because their kings refused to obey God and they refused to conduct their foreign policy as God wanted them to. Interspersed among Jeremiah's unpleasant predictions were various rays of hope for the future. They suggested that even though Judah's bad behavior was going to bring God's wrath down upon them in the short run, the prospects for the long run remained positive. The people of Israel and Judah were still God's chosen people, and he still wanted what was best for them. Today's lesson is one such ray of hope. God speaks through Jeremiah and says that someday he is going to send his people a good king. The king, when Jeremiah preached what we heard today, was a puppet of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The king of Judah's time was Zedekiah, which means God is righteous. Jeremiah promises a king whose name will be the Lord our righteousness, but this time the name will be accurate rather than ironic. The coming king is going to be a descendant of King David, a righteous branch of David's family tree. Jeremiah prophesies a successful reign for him during which he will enforce judgment and justice, and both Israel and Judah will be safe, safe presumably from the foreign aggressors who had caused both nations so much trouble. Then Jeremiah makes the startling prediction that the righteous branch from David is going to do something so great that he will make the chosen people revise their whole idea of who God is. Up to this point, if anyone in Israel were asked who their God was, he would have replied, "Our God is the one who brought us out of Egypt in the Exodus." The Old Testament always describes God in terms of what he has done and what he is doing in Israel's history. Hebrew biblical thought does not conceive of God as an abstraction or a theoretical philosophical principle. God is not love or justice or even goodness. God is the one who acts in history. The most significant thing God ever did in history was to get his people out of their slavery in Egypt around 1400 BC. Jeremiah says that what the coming king, the Messiah, is going to do will be so great that he will make the people forget about Exodus from Egypt, or at the very best, regarded as one of God's lesser feats. The coming king is going to bring all of God's chosen people back together from all the places war and turmoil in the Holy Land have driven them, and he is going to have all the people live together again in their own land. As Christians, we know that the king Jeremiah was talking about is Jesus, a descendant of David, who expands the membership of the chosen people to include Gentiles. The safe place where all God's people will live together someday is the ultimate promised land, heaven. So on the basis of today's prophecy, Israel knew that the Messiah was going to be a collector, a gatherer up, one who puts fragments together and brings scattered peoples back into one place. At the end of the feeding of the 5,000, which is a miracle today's gospel lesson describes, St. John tells us that Jesus told the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. The disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread. 12 is the mystical number of the chosen people because Israel had 12 tribes. So the people who saw the miracle did not only see the remarkable feat of feeding lots of people with only a little food, they also saw in the cleanup an indication that Jesus, the miracle worker, was the one Jeremiah had talked about, the one of whom the chosen people will say, "The Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither God hath driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." So Jeremiah turns out to be talking about Jesus and about what Jesus is going to do for us at the end of time when he takes us to heaven to be with him forever. And so we cry, O come Emmanuel, come again, O Jesus, the righteous branch of David, the Lord our righteousness. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.